We begin in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin against God and our neighbor. Gracious God,
in Christ Jesus, you come among us as a light shining in the darkness. We confess our failure to welcome this light. Forgive us and renew our hope that we may live in the light of your grace and welcome the truth of Christ the Lord. Amen.
In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for you, and for his sake, God forgives you all your sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Storms and feeding thousands with the very bread of peace. Praise the one who blessed the children with a strong yet gentle word. Praise the one who drove out demons with a piercing two-edged sword. Praise the one who brings cool water to the desert's burning sand. From this well comes living water, quenching thirst in every land. Praise the one true love incarnate, Christ who suffered in our place. Jesus died and rose for many, that we may know God by grace. Let us sing for joy and gladness, seeing what our God has done. Praise the one redeeming glory, praise the one who makes us one.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Have mercy.
Let us pray. Everlasting God, you give strength to the weak and power to the faint. Make us agents of your healing and wholeness, that your good news may be made known to the ends of your creation. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. Our first reading this evening is from Isaiah, the 40th chapter, verses 21 through 31. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to live in, who brings princes to naught, and makes the rulers of the earth as nothing. Scarcely are they planted, scarcely sown. Scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth when he blows upon them and they wither, and the tempest carries them off like stubble. To whom will you compare me? Who is my equal? Says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high and see who created these. He who brings out their host and numbers them, calling them by name, because he is great in strength, mighty in power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is an everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let's read Psalm 147 responsively. Will you all please read the bold print? Hallelujah! How good it is to sing praises to our God. How pleasant it is to honor God with praise.
The Lord rebuilds Jerusalem and gathers the exiles of Israel.
The Lord heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds.
The Lord counts the number of stars and calls them all by their names.
Great is our Lord and mighty in power. There is no limit to God's wisdom.
The Lord lifts up the lowly, but casts the wicked to the ground.
Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Make music upon the harp to our God.
Who covers the heavens with clouds and prepares rain for the earth, making grass to grow upon the mountains.
God provides food for the cattle and for the young ravens when they cry.
God is not impressed by the might of a horse and has no pleasure in the speed of a runner.
But finds pleasure in those who fear the Lord, in those who await God's steadfast love. Hallelujah. Our second reading is 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 16 through 23. If I proclaim the gospel, this gives me no ground for boasting, for an obligation is laid on me, and woe to me if I do not proclaim the gospel. For if I do this of my own will, I have a reward. But if not of my own will, I am entrusted with a commission. What then is my reward? Just this, that in my proclamation I may make the gospel free of charge, so as not to make full use of my rights in the gospel. For though I am free with respect to all, I have made myself a slave to all, so that I might win more of them. To the Jews I have become as a Jew in order to win Jews. To those under the law, I became as one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so that I might win those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak, so that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that I might by all means save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, so that I may share in its blessings. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
God's word is our great heritage and shall be ours forever.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
As soon as Jesus and the disciples left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sunset, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons. The whole city was gathered around the door, and he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak, because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went to a deserted place. And there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." He answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring towns, so that I may proclaim the message there also. For that is what I came out to do." And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. My sisters and brothers, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
The healing of Simon's mother-in-law is Jesus' first healing in Mark's gospel. Last week we read how Jesus did his first exorcism in a place that was communal. It was a public space. Now his first healing is in someone's home. It's a private place. Think about our mission. How we are sent into the community to share the love of Jesus. We proclaim, worship, and praise our Lord publicly. We call out and cast out those demons, knowing the love of Jesus has healed and saved us. But we don't leave it here. We bring that liberating love with us as we minister in those private spaces God calls us to be throughout our daily lives. Let us reflect on Simon's mother-in-law, because I believe we can all relate to her in some way. Perhaps you've been physically ill and longed for that restoration. Maybe you have seen people in your life ill and watched them going through in illness and longing for healing, longing for their healing. I know in watching both my parents die from cancer, there was certainly the prevailing thought in wrestling with one's mortality, but I also noticed in their journey there was a profound loss in their suffering of not being able to do certain things. It was being too sick to do the things they wanted to do, or not being able to do certain things to the fullness of their ability. Now, you don't need a terminal illness to have such an experience. Just being sick and being out of commission for a while, we can all long to return to the duties and the activities in our daily lives that we can't do while we're sick. Now, it's very easy to look over Simon's mother-in-law. She doesn't have a name, for one. And her story, as we know it, is confined to two verses. Now, once she is healed, she serves those in her home. And that Greek word for service, for her serving, is the word where we get the word deacon. That's what people who I've seen ill miss doing so much. They miss using their God-given gifts to serve others in the ways they have been accustomed to throughout their lives. Now, because we're all mortal and we're not immune to illness and the realities that come with growing older, this can also be a spiritual struggle for us. Can we escape and avoid such a fate? We might do what we can to be as healthy as we can. We might do what we can to slow the aging process down if possible. Yet underneath those efforts might not simply just be these virtuous attempts to take care of our bodies because they're temples of the Holy Spirit. There might be a fearful, sinful way at work here It might just be wanting to be in control. Now, I've said to people wrestling with an illness, wondering why or if God has done this to them, I'm clear when I say this, and I believe this, God did not fail you here. Your body did. And it's because our bodies will fail us at some point that God gives us the gift of eternal life. Now, we must, make no mistake about it, we must be good stewards of our bodies. We must seek to protect the well-being and health of those around us. But let's not make that into an idol. See, the devil loves to take good things that we should be doing and cause us to obsess with them, where that becomes a way in which we put that above God, right? That's the easiest trick for the devil. It's to take something good and make us obsess and worship that over our Lord. Now, what does Jesus do here? He's revealing for us in the healing of Simon's mother-in-law his mission and ministry. Notice the healing is not contingent upon her faith. See, I think throughout Mark's gospel, we'll hear your faith has made you well, right? We don't hear that here. Jesus is coming to her through his faithfulness to restore her. And she's restored in mind, body, and spirit. Now, I also believe that this verse has some spiritual implications for us, and it can remind us of the baptismal life that we've entered into through that sacrament. We hear in verse 31 of chapter 1 of Mark, Jesus came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. Now, the Greek might be better translated here as he took her by the hand and raised her up. When we are washed anew through the waters of holy baptism, Jesus comes to us and raises us up to new life. And as we're raised to new life, it's a new life of diakonia. It's a life of service, of Christian service to our neighbor and to those around us. We use our God-given gifts and abilities as part of our Christian love and witness, as being part of God's new creation, with the gift of eternal life underway. Simon's mother-in-law reminds us of the value of our everyday work. I mean, what does she essentially do? She doesn't book a flight to go on the next mission trip, right? She gets up and she uses her gifts to provide hospitality to those who are in her home. Now, mission trips and service projects are great and important, but following Jesus Christ, being raised up and given the ability to live into diakonia, into Christian service, is a way of life that we're called to. And if it's a way of life, then it's going to affect us and transform us daily. And I imagine at the heart of it, the gifts that Simon's mother-in-law has was used to provide hospitality throughout her life. And I invite you to ponder, what are your gifts? And how have you used them? How do you use them? And I invite you to pray that your heart and mind would be open for God to continue to make use of those gifts and abilities that you have. Now, at the end of our gospel lesson today, when Simon and his companions find Jesus as he went away to go and pray, they inform Jesus that, hey, everyone's searching for you. Now, it might not seem like it, but I believe that maybe now more than ever in our society, people are searching for Jesus, whether they know it or not. They are people who are exhausted. They are people who are desperate. They are people who do not see light in the darkness. Now, in sharing their struggles, we too know their pain, we know their experiences, and we know their grief because we're human. We have these experiences too. But we also know Jesus, who has raised us up. We may relate to being out of commission due to illness or have watched loved ones go through that experience of illness and losing a sense of their control and losing a sense of certain ability to do certain things. So we too can relate to the fear of not being fully in control. Yet when turning to Jesus who has come to us, who has raised us up during that fear and that pain that we experience, knowing that we surrender ourselves to the love of God, we can share with those who are searching, with those who are afraid, the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Mark Marius points out that Jesus does more in his ministry than just fight the powers of darkness and sin. He trusts. Make no mistake about it. The darkness we experience in this world and in this life is real. But we turn to the one who fully trusted the one who sent him all the way to the cross and grave, knowing that he wouldn't be left there. When we practice our faith by gathering to worship, we're given the gift of faith to trust in the abilities of God. The gifts of the word and sacraments remind us that we are not cut off, that we are not living in isolation when we are afraid, but like Simon's mother-in-law, we are restored to full communion with God and with the people of God. Even when we experience physical limitations produced by age, illness, or injury, we're still able to put our trust in the power of God through Jesus Christ. And like the God who comes to us, the Christian way of life is to be generous towards others, to serve them. Gathered as church, we are fed and then we are sent to serve by sharing the love of Jesus because, like Simon's mother-in-law, we have been raised and we have been created and invited to be part of this new creation and have been given the gift of abundant and eternal life. Thanks be to God.
Amen.
Amen.
Hand. For to the angels he's given a command to guard you in all of your ways. Upon their hands they will bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And he will raise you up on eagle's wings, bear you on the breath of dawn, make you to shine like the sun, and hold you in the palm of his hand. And
let us recite what we believe in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Guided by Christ, made known to the nations, let us offer our prayers for the church, the world, and all people in need. For the church, for ministries of healing and wholeness, for hospital, hospice, and military chaplains, for those serving in prison ministry, for all who proclaim freedom and release. In the name of Christ, let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
For creation, for the humility to take our place among all creatures of the earth, let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
For the nations, for all who lead in cities and towns, states and countries, for those in our armed services, and for peacemakers throughout the world, let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
For all wearied by life's burdens, for those who are poor, for those lacking supportive relationships, for those crushed by debt, for those struggling with chronic pain or other sickness, for those exhausted from overwork or stress, and for all who cry out to you. This evening, we lift up especially Ron and Andrea, who will have surgery on Monday, for Cora, for the family of Dick Himmler, for Kylie, for Matt, Tracy, Susie, Tim, Wilma, Vincent, Pat, Dina, Candace, Stan, Marlene and her family, for Ken and our family, for Blaine, for Michelle, Diane, John, Gloria, Megan, Rob, Leah, Lori, for Frank and our homebound. Let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
For our pastor, Adam, for Elizabeth, and for Daniel, our bishop, let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
For this congregation, show us our gifts, O Lord. For outreach and social ministries centered here, especially the Cardington Community Food Pantry, our Bountiful Backpack Ministries, and the Royal Family Kids. For ministries of companionship and support, especially our Stevens Ministry, and for all people in this place who open us to new understandings, let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
In thanksgiving for the faithfully departed who were called by name and now rest from their labors, that their lives serve as witnesses to the goodness of God, let us pray.
Have mercy, O God. Merciful God, hear the prayers of your people, spoken or silent, for the sake of the one who dwells among us, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Amen.
Satan had me bound, Jesus lifted me. Satan had me bound, Jesus lifted me. Satan had me bound, and Jesus lifted me. Singing glory, hallelujah, Jesus lifted me. When I was in trouble, Jesus lifted me. When I was in trouble, Jesus lifted me. When I was in trouble, Jesus lifted me. Singing glory, hallelujah, Jesus lifted me.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
As Christ sends us out into the world, let us recite the mission God has given us.
St. John Lutheran Church Windfall is centered in the Word, strengthened in the sacraments, sent into the community to share the love of Jesus.
Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.
Amen.
Your light has come, the Spirit's call obey. Show forth the glory of your God, which shines on you today. Arise, your light has come, fling wide the prison door. Proclaim the captive's liberty, tidings to the poor. Arise, your light has come, all you in sorrow born. Bind up the broken-hearted ones and comfort those who mourn. Arise, your light has come. The mountains burst in song. Rise up like eagles on the wing. God's power will make us strong.
Go in peace, serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.